You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. 50 years ago in Rome, the Second Vatican Council met to address relations between the Roman Catholic Church and the modern world. The outcome of the council, known as Vatican II, radically changed the lives and work of many nuns across the United States. Nuns began working outside of the church, going into jails and prisons, starting affordable housing programs and organic farms, and lobbying in state legislatures. The rise of these movements, as well as the response from the Vatican, is the subject of the documentary Band of Sisters, opening tonight at Cinema Village. It is directed by Mary Fishman, and I'm pleased to have her on the program. Thanks for coming in. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
So how did you originally learn about these sisters?
Well, it's funny because I went to Catholic schools, elementary school, high school, with sisters, and then Notre Dame for college. But I really didn't know that sisters were into these progressive movements until I started researching the film, which I got the idea about 10 years ago when my sister gave me a book called Aging with Grace, which is about Catholic sisters and their work, Catholic sisters and they're volunteering to be part of an Alzheimer's study.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book, for the first time, just opened my eyes to who sisters were, you know, the really interesting lives they had led and the things they'd done in their lives. And so then I started just looking into what they had done, and I was amazed.
So could you describe the work of the Sisters of Mercy at the Broadview Detention Center in Illinois?
Sure. It started in about 2007. Sister Pat Murphy and Sister Joanne Persh heard that a lawyer was holding a rosary vigil outside of this detention center, which is near O'Hare Airport. Every Friday, they process people through that center, and then they ship them off to O'Hare, and they're sent to whatever. A lot of them are flown to Texas, and then they're bussed across the border. And they might not even be from Mexico, but that's where they get dumped.
Wow.
And then others get sent to Europe. So Pat and Joanne heard about this lawyer. They, in their lives, they had been involved for a long time with refugees and with the sanctuary movement in the 80s. You know, people had been tortured in Latin America. So they wanted to get involved, and they joined the vigil. But they started to be instantly concerned about what people were feeling like when they were inside that center. And so they wanted to go inside, and they weren't allowed, you know, they were denied. They also knew that between the time that people are picked up and that they're deported, they're held in jails for, it could be half a year, it could be several years. And so they wanted to find out what was going on there, and they wanted to visit those people, and again, they were denied.
Now, at times, these sisters seemed to encounter resistance from the prison administration. How do they deal with these confrontations?
Well, I'll quote them, Sister Pat and Joanne. They always say that, you know, they do this respectfully, peacefully, but they never take no for an answer. So they just don't go away. And they're very, you know, you might think that they're gentle and sweet, but they're very tough.
Oh, I've been to Catholic school. I know.
Right. So they, you know, and the thing about sisters is that they have all these networks. You know, they're so connected. So they get people to help them. And quickly, Pat and Joanne formed this interfaith coalition, people who were experienced in lobbying in Springfield and one of the people drafted a law, and they just persisted. Like between March and November, when the bill was, you know, when they first tried getting this bill in, Pat and Joanne drove to Springfield twice a week, which is like a 5-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And they're in their 70s and 80s.
5-hour drive one way.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I was going to ask you about the fact that the documentary follows these sisters in the Illinois State House. And how were they able to get – one, were they able to get the attention of members of the legislature? And two, how successful were they?
Well, they used their connections. Emil Jones was, the leader. I forget his actual title, but he's, he was kind of a key person in getting this bill passed. And so they brought down his pastor, who happens to be a Catholic priest. They brought him down there, and he talked to him. And then Pat and Joanne were on the floor, and Pat just said to him, you have the power to make this happen. I mean, she just wouldn't leave. She was, just very forcefully saying that. So I think, partly they get access because they are sisters, but it's also just that they have so much, they do their work,
Persistence, perseverance, and preparation.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Mary Fishman. She is the director of the movie Band of Sisters. I'm Jonathan Capehart in for Leonard Lopate. Who was Sister Catherine McCauley?
Oh, she was an Irish sister who was born in the late 1700s in Dublin. She was born Protestant, but that's not true. She was Catholic, but there was a lot of pressure from her family to not be Catholic at that time. Anyway, she ended up living with a Quaker family and taking care of them. And at the same time, she felt very drawn to helping people who were poor, especially women and children. There was just, abject poverty in Dublin and throughout Ireland. And so when the Quaker family died, they willed her a lot of money. And she used that to build a building where they could house homeless women and children and teach them skills. And eventually Catherine became a sister and founded the Sisters of Mercy, which it was kind of unusual at the time because they called them the walking nuns because they went out into the streets where the people were looking for people that needed help, whereas a lot of sisters were more confined to their convents at that time. And then quickly, Catherine built a lot of convents around the country in Ireland and sent people to America and Australia, and it really grew into being one of the largest orders in the world.
So we have to talk about Vatican II. And how did Catholic education change after Vatican II?
Well, I think, prior to Vatican II, a lot of people, what they learned about was in the Baltimore Catechism, and it was, kind of consisted of memorizing church rules, doctrine, not really reflecting on things. And people weren't encouraged to read the Bible. So after Vatican II, education-wise, I think Catholics were encouraged to read the Bible, to kind of pray over what's in Scripture, to study theology. I think, things became more, it became more of an adult faith, and I think that's, that has seeped into education, and I think it's very positive.
So what was the effect on nuns teaching outside of the church?
Sisters were teaching in colleges, and also they Vatican II freed up sisters to look into other ministries where they were greatly needed, and a number of sisters have gone into other types of education. I think that many of them are more involved in adult education now at retreat centers, at these ecology and earth learning centers. Sisters are into ecological farming and, mm-hmm. and sustainability. So in a way, they're teaching in that way. And they also, so many of them go to conferences, give seminars. They're on any number of things.
What is it about farming that attracts nuns? Because I know there are some of the sisters who didn't have any farming experience started organic farms.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a spiritual connection. Not only is it great that we should conserve energy, we should farm organically, not pollute, but I think what's happened, is that sisters have, a lot of them are interested in new interpretations of our where we came from and who are we and the you know what we're learning from science is that we're all so connected. And you know, older views of us on Earth were that we were given dominion over everything, and you know, there's this hierarchical structure and we're just supposed to kind of use everything here. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, you know, when you think about the fact that we all came from this one original point when the universe, you know, exploded into being, and all this beautiful unfolding and evolution for billions of years, and that we all came from the same thing, we're all related, and that God is basically immanent in all of this, that that kind of changes your view of the earth and you know, farming, animals, water, it all just kind of changes.
We can't talk about nuns in the church and the faith without talking about the new Pope, Pope Francis. And as I was watching the documentary and preparing for this, I kept wondering, what would Pope Francis think about the Band of Sisters? What do you think he would think?
I think you would love them. I mean, I think that they're doing, and they have been doing for 50 years, exactly what he's calling for the church to do. You know, he had a meeting with the male superiors of the male religious groups in November, I think. And, you know, he said that we're called to be on the margins with people who are, you know, not at the center, but people who are left out and abandoned. That's where we should be, and that's where the sisters have been. And they found, once they went to those places, they found that it's great to do, you know, help them with their immediate needs, but what they really felt was that we need to start working on structural change so that this injustice doesn't persist. And, you know, so that's how people like Pat and Joanne would get involved in this mm-hmm. activism, and how these ecological farms, they're trying to change structure. So I think Pope Francis would love it.
And it seems like the posture of Pope Francis is sort of the opposite of the previous, if you want to call it, administration. And I'm just thinking about the 2009 investigations by Rome into organizations of U.S. nuns. What was that all about, real quickly?
Well, I think that kind of came about, you know, there were some immediate causes. I think one of the instigating things was the healthcare, you know, issue that mm-hmm. arose where the sisters were on one side of the, you know, they were in favor of it. They felt that it wasn't going to increase access to abortion, and the bishops were afraid that it would. But, you know, so I think there was a little bit of, you know, concern about the sisters weren't holding up the party line. But really, it's hard to know why they would have launched an investigation of, like, the orders and their quality of life, because the sisters didn't ask for it, and they didn't, I don't think they felt that it was necessary. You know, and then there's another investigation of Leadership Conference of Women Religious, and that one was about that the Vatican, certain officials felt that the sisters should be more of a mouthpiece for church doctrine. They were focusing too much on issues of poverty and, in, you know, economic justice, and they should have been more focused on upholding the teaching about homosexuality and about male-only priesthood, mm-hmm. and, you know, so there is a little bit of that going on.
I would suspect the elevation of Pope Francis is a sigh of relief in that regard. I've been speaking with filmmaker Mary Fishman about her documentary Band of Sisters, which tells the story of three nuns advocating for the rights of immigrant detainees. It opens today at Cinema Village at 22 East 12th Street, and she'll be doing a Q&A there tonight following the 7:10 screening. She'll be appearing with sisters from the film on Saturday at 3:10 and 7:10 screenings, and on Sunday at 3:10. For more information, visit our show page. Many thanks for joining us today, Mary.
Oh, thanks so much.